It's a good crowd here today. It warms the building up when you're here when the heaters aren't working. No, actually, they're working. At least I think they are, but I'm still chilly. It's a little chilly for me. I survived Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Pie in the morning, pie at noon, pie in the evening, too. I gained 2 pounds. I lost 2 pounds. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I hope we really enjoyed ours, being with family, giving thanks to God. And it was just a good time. A few things. We're going to serve communion here at the end of our service, and we'll also be bringing in some new members at that time. I'm always excited about bringing new members in. Also, we start our week of prayer this week. We start at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we actually kick off today, and we provide a prayer list where we can pray strategically every day at 6 a.m. at our home. We know we're praying together, and then we meet at 6:30 Saturday in the Student Center to pray collectively with the Saturday focus. Also, and I'm telling you, for those of y'all that are praying, this prayer journal that Kathy, and she's out today, wrote this to go with this. So it's a strategic prayer journal that I would encourage you to get, because we're going to pray the first full week, and we pray all the time around here, but we're going to pray the first full week of every month next year as well. We're going to add a little fasting, not at Thanksgiving, but we're going to add a little. But you can get this on Amazon if you want to pick that up. Do that too. Hey, Christmas is here. Merry Christmas. Look to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. How many of you, it's the first time you said it? It is for me today when I come in. How many? Y'all already been saying it? No, Merry Christmas. We're going to start our Christmas series today. Next week, a week from today, our children, I think, will be singing 3 songs. So 3 or 4 songs, and we'll have another Christmas message. And then 2 weeks from today, you know it's coming, right? That's our Christmas fellowship and Christmas dinner. It's a chili cook-off. And Jonathan is heading that up for us this year. I don't know if we have the sign-ups out there yet or not, but if you don't, it will be out there by the end of the service, and I'm winning this year. I'm going to make 2, I think. I've never done doubles. Maybe after 24 or 5 years, I could win with 2 in the game. Right? Some of you said you don't know. But let's compete. Let's have fun. Let's compete. It'll be we'll have a full service, full worship service, full, be able to smell the chili and full preaching, pray at the altars, and then we'll have a great time of fellowship in 2 weeks. So praise God. Hey, aren't the decorations awesome? Our ladies have done a fabulous job. They do it every Thanksgiving weekend while we're stuffing with turkey. They're in here, and some of their husbands actually climb ladders and do all that. So a big appreciation to our women's ministry and those of you that came out and helped. And I love them. I think as I get older, I'm enjoying Christmas more and more. And enjoying everything about it. We'll be singing some of those hard to play, at least the musicians tell me, hard to play Christmas songs. And we'll be singing those. But, you know, when I look at these decorations, and some are in the common area as well, you know what it reminds me of, don't you? It reminds me of Jesus. Don't get distracted. Christmas is about Jesus, right? I look at those poinsettias and I think about Jesus. I look at that tree and it reminds me of Jesus. That's why we celebrate. And it's not just Jesus. We need to be reminded that he's still a miracle worker. We heard another miracle testimony in our connecting point this morning. We're going to get it on video and share it with you. We've had some physical healings recently. But Christmas reminds me of miracles. I'm worshiping this morning, and thank God for our worship team. And while I'm worshiping, every now and then I'd open one eye. There's that microphone again, isn't it? Stay with me. We're really having trouble with this one, but that's the first time it glitched. Yeah. You know what I learned? Time out. Now that the cell phone companies are buying more frequencies, guess what equipment it affects? Everything on our stage. Is that unbelievable? Meanwhile, back to the ranch. I want to talk about the miracles of Christmas today. I was worshiping this morning, and, you know, I get over my little corner and just worship and usually kneel and pray for a little while. And isn't it wonderful to take a few minutes every Sunday morning with other people and just focus on Jesus as we sing? I think it's super. But maybe y'all think I'm strange. I'm sure you think I'm strange, but I looked at the poinsettias, and I began to think of all the miracles Jesus has done in my life. I don't have time to share them. I went down the poinsettia row and could think of miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that Jesus has done for me. I looked at that tree while I was worshiping. Yes. 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 It's all good. I looked at that tree and I thought of some of the big miracles Jesus has done in my life. Have you experienced a miracle this morning in Jesus? I'd like to put your hands up. Do you still believe in miracles? Do you still believe in the miracle of Christmas? That's what I want to talk about today, and I don't mind all the fun you want to have with it. I was looking at Facebook yesterday, and there's a guy on there, and he's criticizing everything about Christmas and everything this and everything that and everything this, and I just went, delete you. Celebrate. If you want to shop, shop. If you want to put six trees up, put six trees up. If you want to stay up all night, stay up all night. If you want lots of gifts, you don't want any gifts. You don't want a tree. However you want to celebrate, just remember it's about Jesus. Everybody say, bah humbug. Go, say, I'm sorry. It's about him. I wanted to answer some of those posts so bad. He thought he was trying to get everybody to focus, and he'd lost his focus anyway. I'm thankful for the miracles of Christmas. The miracles of Christmas and miracles period are absolutely essential to Christianity. Well, I'm not a miracle chaser. Well, you better be, because salvation is the greatest miracle of all. The New Testament is full of the miraculous. The Gospels are full of the miraculous. And Christmas, let's don't forget, is about the miracle of Jesus Christ. Look, God coming to earth, manifesting in the flesh, is a miracle. And if we don't believe in that miracle, our faith is a myth. If Jesus did not rise from the dead in bodily form, would you say that's a miracle? I know that's Easter, but I tell you what, it's still Christmas. If Jesus, who was dead, did not rise from the dead in bodily form, we're still dead in our sins. You know, some of our, and they're off, theologians in all stream, in many streams are trying to think through and get rid of all the miracles in the Bible. Without the miracle that we're going to learn about Christmas, we're lost in our sin, everybody. It's a miracle that we're here this morning. Give me an amen on that. If the miracle of grace, what is grace? Of course, it's unmerited favor, but it's the power of God to change a life. It was the grace of Jesus Christ that touched many of your hearts, just like Darla and I all those years ago. We walked in this little church one way, we walked out of that little church another way, because of the tangible, verifiable, miraculous grace of Jesus Christ. His grace isn't something we read about. It's transformational, somebody. So I thank God for miracles, and I thank God for the miracles of Christmas. And we're going to talk about the miracles of Christmas. It sounds dry, but at least one Christmas message a year, we need to talk about the theology of Christmas, because the real theology of Christmas are about the miracles. C.S. Lewis, a great writer many of you know, said this: a miracle is an interference with nature by a supernatural power. How many of y'all need Jesus to intervene supernaturally this morning? I like that. John 1 and 14 will just kind of be a springboard scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. Speaking of the Lord, it is said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Look to your neighbor and say, that's a miracle. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's a miracle. I've said it once and I'll say it again in a different way. Celebrate Christmas however you enjoy, but make sure your focus is on Him. Let's look at some of the miracles. Number one, God came to earth. Would you say that's a miracle? When every religion in the world except Christianity teaches their people that they have to work their way to a certain level of goodness in order to have a certain kind of eternity, and some of them don't even teach that there's an eternity, but it's always about us trying to get better so that we can get to God. All the other religions in the world teach that. It's a works-based thing. And what we find out is people in experience, and it's true, and we read the Bibles, you can't be good enough to get there. You can't get good enough works to get there. I've been with people at their deathbed. I said, how is your relationship with God? God and I are okay. Don't leave it there, please. I said, okay, if you're okay with God, can you tell me how you know you're okay? Well, I was a pretty good person. I did some pretty good things. I was a pretty decent husband. Yeah, but how do you know you're okay so that you say, well, I was better than the average guy. I didn't mess up. It's probably not okay. Because good works and good deeds don't get you to heaven. Working our way to become a better version of ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that, not going to get me to heaven. Hopefully in 10 years I'll be a better version of me, but it's not going to get me to heaven. Only the grace of Jesus Christ gets us to heaven. Christianity teaches us God came to us. God knew that man couldn't work himself to himself. Man couldn't be good enough. Man couldn't do enough good deeds. By the way, you can't do anything bad enough either. Hallelujah. There's no sin that Jesus can't forgive. No mistake God can't overcome in us. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what separates Christianity, which is the way to heaven, from all the other religions in the world, is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to us. We couldn't get the bridge built to heaven on our best day, so God said, I'll build the bridge to them. Basic, but it's true. And it's still good, isn't it? Because you and I both know on our best days, we don't deserve to be there. Well, maybe we have a good day or two and we think, well, God came to earth through Jesus. But let me tell you this, Christmas is not about the beginning of Jesus Christ. Christmas is about celebrating Jesus' arrival on earth. Did y'all catch that? I think the crowd did. Y'all were, it's not about the beginning of Jesus. It's his arrival on earth. Jesus' beginnings were not in a stable. They weren't in a stable. Colossians 1 and 15 through 17. Watch this. Let's read a few verses. Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. It's hard to comprehend, but he was there. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or, let me look behind the tree there, oh, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And I love this next piece. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. He was there in the beginning. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were there in the beginning. All things were created through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. And Jesus was sent to earth, sent to, by the way, you can know him today. It's not just a 2,000-year-old story. You can know Jesus Christ today. He wants to walk in relationship with you today. And if you know Jesus today, you'll know God the Father today. And if you know Jesus today, you can get to know God the Holy Spirit today. Isn't it great we can have eternal life? But isn't it also great that we can know God? Wow. Wow. So many simple concepts, but they're still wow. It said, he is the image of God. His character is the exact representation of God. Jesus would later say in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In another passage in Colossians 1 and 19, it says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. He's the image of Almighty God, and he came to us. That's the next. I'm jumping ahead. If you know Jesus, you know God. Now, the word image there is it's equivalent to a root word that we get portrait. Portrait or photograph. Everybody know what a photograph is? Now, I know most of them are here now, but I brought some here. How many of you keep hard copies now? About six of us. I know Noah looks at me and always says, Pastor, no paper. I don't want paper. I don't want paper anything. I mean, he wants things electronically. And I'm getting there. My kids still call me the horse and buggy man, but I'm getting there. Jesus is a picture, a portrait, a photo of who God the Father is. It's also, if you do the word study, in that word study, it refers to a legal document that can be drawn up as a receipt or proof that a transaction has taken place. Now, y'all know I like to go fishing, don't you? And I can tell some pretty big tales. Part of fishing is telling fish tales. Would y'all believe one time on a little bitty crankbait, I'm down in Mexico fishing, and I caught a 3-pound bass and a 5-pound bass on the same crankbait. That's next to impossible, isn't it? I mean, it's very impossible. I got the picture. I thought I had a 15 on there. But I had two fish on a little tiny crankbait. How in the world they got hooked on that little tiny crankbait, I don't know. But that is proof that I catch fish when I'm in Mexico. You know, I talk about how many we catch. Sometimes 100 a day. I know it. I feel like I'm lying when I say it. Sometimes we catch some big hogs, too. We call them toads. I've caught a bunch of toads. I caught one that almost weighed 10 pounds. Even with heavy test pound, it took 5 to 8 minutes to get him in. He was a hoss. And I got proof. That's a big fish, isn't it? Oh. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. And that's proof that God exists. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's just a picture who Almighty God is. And God is so God that I can't describe Him. But God sent His Son to the earth. Jesus loves us. God the Father cared about us so much. He sent His Son here. God loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. Jesus is the proof. He's the picture. Wow. He became flesh. Do y'all get that? He became flesh. So that we could know Him. So that we could know Him. Not guess, not wonder, not carved statues and idols. There's always been a hole in man that desired to know God. If man or woman can't find God, they make all kinds of other images. Because they desire to know Him. God the Father loved us so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth in the flesh so that we could know Him. And we could also know this, the basic Sunday school scripture in John 3:16. God so loved the world. Look to your neighbor and say, that's you. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for John 3:16. See, religion itself focuses on good works or idolatry or the baby in a manger, but true Christianity focuses on the one, Jesus Christ, that did eventually come and be laid in a manger. But this God that come as Jesus was there with the Creator. In fact, He was creating with the Creator. And in Colossians 1:15 and 17, again it says, He controls all kingdoms, powers, and rulers, and is the one that holds all things together. This morning we can know God. We can know God and experience salvation only provided through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, the washings of sins, the cleansings of sins, a way to pay. He paid a debt for us and made a way for us to spend eternity with Him. But we can know God today. What a miracle. Know God? What? Not just read 3 books, not just read 10 books. What? No. We can know Jesus. I want you to walk with Him this morning. Get some of that old religion off of you this morning. Get a hunger in you and say, Jesus, I want to know You. God, I want to know You. Holy Spirit, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. I want to be with You. Because let me tell you what, we don't hold all things together. Dale thought he had it all together. Dale thought he could hold it all together. Dale found out a long time ago he couldn't hold anything together. But with Jesus, He holds all things together. Hallelujah. Get it together. Enjoy God's forgiveness. That's point one. That's too long. I got 4 points. I may just do 2 this morning. We'll see. I've been hanging around these young preachers and interns, and they preach long, and they make me want to preach long. Just joking. So not only was He in the beginning and came to earth, and it's still, and I've already been touching on this, He did come. I want to unpack it a little more, why He came as a man. And I'm springboarding off the last thought. Philippians 2, 6, and 8 says this. Speaking of Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Isn't that something? Jesus, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself, become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Whoa. Does that, I mean, all God, all man. That's impossible. That's why it's a miracle. Please don't take the miracles out of Christmas. What was the benefit? Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Since then we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Since then we have Him as high priest. Let us hold fast to our confession. Some of the most beautiful verses in the Scripture. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Are those beautiful scripture verses? Can you put Hebrews 2:14 up there? Good man. Thank you, Lord. I jumped ahead on Stephen. Let me read it. And it goes hand in hand with that last verse. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18 says, since the children have flesh and blood, look to your neighbor and say, that's you. He too shared in their humanity so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is, the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And I'm going to keep reading, but who holds the power of death? Who did? The devil. We read that clearly here. And free those who live all their lives held in slavery by fear of death. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I want to stop there, and I'm going to keep reading. When you have Jesus in your heart, you don't have to be afraid to die. That's good news. Because we are all going to die. Some of the most horrific, and I'm not overusing the word or magnifying the word. I've been to funerals where people did not know Christ. Those funerals, I would describe them in one word, terror. Because they did not know. They thought when it was over, it was over. They were still bound and in slavery to their fear of death. And they were still bound by the power of death, the devil in their life. And it was terror and terrifying to them. Look, he too shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might destroy the works of the devil and the fear of dying. For it is surely not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's people that know Christ. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, that's us, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Thank you, Jesus, because he himself suffered when he is tempted. He is able to help those who's being tempted. Now listen, Satan, the devil, you say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, then he's already got one step on you. We're not going to focus on the devil, but the scripture says he roams to and fro seeking whom he may devour. When we don't have Christ in our life, we can be devoured. We can not only be tempted, we can fall into temptation. Without Jesus, our soul is dead. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, our soul is dead. Our soul is dying. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, we don't have that roof of protection of the grace of God in our life. The devil loves to tempt and attack unprotected hearts and souls, and ultimately, to the best of his ability, dethrone any sense of God in our lives. Except Jesus came to earth in the flesh. Jesus came to earth where he could be seen. Jesus came to earth where he was touchable. Jesus came to earth as a photograph, as a picture of God to let people know that God still loves people. Jesus came to the earth as a picture of the way to heaven and the way to have forgiveness of sin. Jesus was born to die, and he didn't have to be tempted, but he was tempted just like we are. When you're under temptation, you didn't sin. You ever fall into temptation? You feel like you've sinned already? Everybody's going to be tempted. Satan's going to fight everybody. The flesh I get up with every morning, we're going to have to fight the flesh. But because Jesus came in the flesh and was tempted like we were, and not only Jesus was victorious over every temptation, and because Jesus was victorious, Jesus understands. Jesus is touchable and tangible. Jesus came to us. Jesus is all God. Jesus is all man. We can overcome too. He understands what you're going through. He understands your flaws. He understands your temptations and was victorious through them all. Colossians 2 and 15, speaking of Christ, and says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, Satan, he made a public spectacle of Satan and sin. And the scripture says, triumphing over them at the cross. The old saying, are you under the blood? Colossians 1 and 13 says, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Some translations said, brought us from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. The Greek word for tempted can mean to try men or women by adversity, to test their faith, to test their confidence. Hebrews 12 and 18 says this, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I know I'm parking here a little while on purpose. If he hadn't come in the flesh, see, because he understands temptation and overcome, he's able to, everybody say, help me. It's called the incarnation. But when people try to get rid of the incarnation of Christ and prove it wasn't a miracle, we die in our sins, church. Plus, we have no tangible help now. And everybody in this room knows, including me, that we need help on a regular basis. I said, we need help on a regular basis. Pastor, I've been saved 22 years. Well, I've been saved, I can't even count. I need help all the time. No, let me say it this way. I need his help all the time. Has anybody here arrived? Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Did anybody go a week without doing something in the flesh? Don't raise your hands. If you raise your hand, I think you just went to line anyway. I'm not advocating sin or being in the flesh. I'm just saying I'm parking here for... I'm saying we need his help all the time. And because he came not only as a God, you know, not a God we couldn't get to, but a God that came in the flesh and he was tempted and understands our temptation and he was victorious over every temptation, we can be victorious too. Help me, Jesus. The word help there in the original language means simply this in my words. Jesus will run to your aid when you cry for help at all times. Woo! Do you need help this morning? Cry out to Jesus. He's not some God that's way out there somewhere in the cosmos. He's here. Now, the reality of Christ now is made a reality through the Holy Spirit. John 17 and 18, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 18. I mean, but Jesus is still tangible. And when we need help, he will help us. You may be walking through a dark valley this morning, and you may say, get me out of this valley. Look, in God's time, I can't tell you when you walk out of the valley, but I can tell you who will walk with you in the valley, and his name is Jesus. He'll help you. He'll help you. I said this some months ago. One of the most powerful prayers is this. Help! Then start asking for help. Don't pretend like you don't need help. Don't put that religious garb on and pretend like you've arrived and you're just totally perfect. We're not perfect. We're being perfected. We're not complete. We're being completed. I need his help. I need his grace. And because he came as a God-man, he understands me and it helps me understand him so that I might know him. And one thing that I know about Jesus is that he always comes to his children's aid. He always answers prayer. He always gives grace. He always gives victory, even in the darkest hour. You say, well, I'm suffering. I think he's especially attracted to those that suffer. I could prove it with dozens of scriptures. I'm not where I need to be. He's attracted to that. I didn't do too well this week. He's still attracted to you. He loves you. Look, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we can call for help. Well, I messed up the same old thing over and over and over again. Don't quit crying out for help. Satan wants you to quit crying out. Satan wants to say you're not good enough. You know, when he does that to me, I say, you're right. I'm not good enough. But Jesus is good enough. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I'm experiencing temptation. Help! How many times has he helped you this morning? It's laughable, huh? How many times has he picked you up when you're down? Bleak, 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 bleak. That day you said that salvation prayer. Was that just a myth or was it a miracle? Huh? How many miracles are in the house? What happened? That little church wasn't a myth, was it, honey? Your body got healed. Your marriage got healed. Your husband got saved. Your marriage got rescued. It wasn't a myth. I mean, it wasn't a myth. Believe me, it's not a myth. You holler for help. He's able. I want everybody in the church to say, he can. I want everybody in the church to say, my God is able. Get it in your spirit. I teach simple biblical concepts. And I will reread Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And I'm going to close. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have an high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then I love 16. I say it all the time. Y'all know I do. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace and mercy is always available. Jesus can and Jesus is able. The scripture says this in Ephesians. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ever ask or imagine. That's who Jesus is. He can. You know, he was born in a manger. He came to a teenage girl. Well, I don't believe in the virgin birth. You have to if you want to be saved. You have to believe in the miracle of the virgin birth if you want to experience salvation. Well, how do you believe in miracles? Faith. And then when you do, you become one. He can do anything, can't he? You're a miracle, aren't you? I know where you come from, and I know what you did, and then I know what you did, and then I know what you're doing now. And you're a miracle. You didn't know when you came to college what was going to happen, did you? Showed up at the Rock Church, a little college kid. Get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. You're a miracle. I know your testimony. What about that one that was baptized? Dear Lord, girl, you're a miracle. Right? You know what Jesus is doing in your life. Whew. Garrett, I know your testimony. Now, you know mine, and we're keeping it hush-hush. But you and I know the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. We know what God can do. Many of us in here know what Jesus is able to do. Jimmy, you got your hearing aids on back there? You're a miracle. You and I know what a miracle you are, and Cheryl has told me what a miracle you are. Brian, you're a miracle. Now Brian went, Johanna went. We know what he can do. And Johanna, you're a miracle. I know you were raised in the church, but what a miracle you are, you little preacher woman, you. Ned, I know your testimony. I know BC, before Christ. You're a miracle. And you're a walking miracle right now. God's healing Ned's body. He's taking communion twice a day. When you told me that, it felt right in my spirit. Just where you know, we were just moving quick through the hallway. Because by His stripes, we are healed. And we still believe by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And we're going to take communion here just in a moment and believe for that. He can do anything. You see, I believe He can do everything because all things were created through Him and by Him, and all things hold together. And I don't know what miracle you need this morning, but He can do anything. I don't like miracles. Why not? You need one. Dear Lord, you need one. Dear Lord, we need one. Oh, hard head. I'm talking about me, not you. He can do anything. You say, well, I'm just so lowly. Mary was a nobody. And God sovereignly came to her. You say, well, I'm poor. I don't have much money. Thank God. You say, I'm rich. I got too much money. I don't rely on anybody. He comes to the poor. He comes to the rich. He can help you if you're poor. He can help you if you're rich. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You say, well, I'm in this terrible situation. It'll take a miracle. He can. He can. He can. He's able. He's able. He's able. Something just, well, I've been falsely accused. I've been hurt. I've been hurt at work. I've been hurt at home. I got hurt over Thanksgiving by family. I got hurt in church. Well, ask Him to help you with the hurt, to heal you from the hurt, to heal you from the pain, to heal you from the anger, to heal you from those emotions. He can. He can. He can. He's able. He will if you'll let Him do it. You say, well, I'm so demon oppressed. I've got more devils than you ever could think of. He can set you free. You say, I'm so addicted, I've ruined my life. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. I've ruined my life. I've made some decisions. I'm living with some decisions. It's hindering me. Listen, He can help you. I've abandoned Jesus more than once. I've walked away from Jesus more than once. I even feel abandoned. And that's why I left Him anyway. Jesus hasn't abandoned you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He can touch you. He can heal you. He can make you whole. He can save you. He can heal your diseases. He can help you emotionally. He can help you financially. He can. He can. He can. He can. Just storm the throne of grace. You got to be at the throne of grace all the time. The scripture tells me that His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect in our weakness. You know how I know He can? He came. He came. And since He came as a God-man, He can. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. Let's get the communion table out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.